Good morning, church. So, there's this interesting part of this passage that Christine just read. Yet he, God, did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Now, notice, this is spoken to nations that are walking their own way. This is spoken to those who are not in, well, Christ eventually, but those who are rebelling against God, those who are not following him. Have you ever wondered? Sometimes we look at our neighbors, we say, well, why do the wicked prosper? Why do people who have nothing, who want nothing to do with God, why are they sometimes doing well? Why do they seem happy? Why do sometimes, sadly, people who are not in church or people who are not Christian, sometimes they behave better than Christians do? Now, on the one hand, I'd say that should not be. That when we are regenerated in Christ, we should behave better. But we all know that the speed of that varies by person, and we don't know where people are coming from. What we're seeing today might be 100 times better than what somebody was before Christ. But we are not a finished work now. And we also have passages like this. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law. In other words, again, when people who are not followers of Christ are doing the right thing. So here we seem to have this idea that the disobedient, those outside of relationship with God, those we might say who are not Christian, can do good and receive goodness and blessings. That's what we're talking about today. So sometimes this is called common grace. And I'm sorry, it's cut off a little bit. Common's got quotation marks around it. Because sometimes people use common grace to mean a very specific thing. And I might not mean that, depending on who's defining it. So I want to start with this passage. God is love. Because I think that's important to frame everything we're doing. Not that God has love, he does. But he has love because he himself is love. And his love is for us as Christians, and I would say objectively in reality, how we define love. It is God's love who teaches us what love is. And where we as Christians ultimately are looking is to be fully and eternally, forever, in the presence of God. In the presence of his love. In Revelation, it says that one day we will see his face, and his name will be on our foreheads, and night will be no more. We will have no need for light from the lamp or from the sun, because God himself will be our light. That's heaven, when we are in the presence of God. Eternally. And what hell is, I would suggest to you that what hell is simply separation from God. Also eternal, also fully. So in 2 Thessalonians, it says that this hell is where ultimately Satan and his angels, but also all those who follow Satan, who turn away from God, will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Now, If God is love, then that means that heaven is also to be eternally and fully in the presence of love. And hell is to be eternally and fully separated from love. In Revelation, again, I think we see a reflection of this. We're told that one day in heaven, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death will be no more, and neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain. Why will there be no more mourning, crying, or pain? Ultimately, I would say, because we are in the full presence of love. We will be surrounded and in the presence of the fullness of love that we have never experienced before. And we'll be there eternally. This is our hope. That the love we crave, that we will never receive fully here. Hopefully we as a church are a shadow of that love. But the fullness of that love we will only experience in the presence of God, because he is love. And in the same way, hell then, in Matthew we're told that hell is outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I'd suggest to you that's a metaphor for a place without love. Because when it talks about outer darkness, earlier in Matthew, also talking about weeping and gnashing of teeth, earlier in Matthew, he calls it the fiery furnace. How can something be both a fiery furnace and a place of outermost darkness? Because fire is hot and light, and outermost darkness is almost the opposite. And what I'd say is, I think this is a metaphor for a place completely absent of God's love. That not just God's love, that God is love itself. So ultimately what hell is a place where God will honor the request of atheists when they say, we want nothing to do with you, God. We want no part of you. And God will ultimately say, I don't desire any of you to perish, but one day I'll give you your request. If you want nothing to do with me, I will step out fully of your life. And in that place, without any aspect of God, any aspect of love, I would call that place outermost darkness. I would call that place a place that burns like a fiery furnace, because we will have the complete and eternal absence of love. And that brings us back to where we started with this passage. That in verse 17 it says, he, God, did not leave himself without a witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food. And the final verse there is missing, but the final word is gladness, joy. And he gives this even to those who are not in him. And we see this reflected in other passages in Scripture. You see, God is here in this world. He is present. But in the Old Testament, we're told continuously we cannot see the fullness of his face. And we're told that right now we see. In this passage from Corinthians, it's talking about love. We now see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then, in heaven, we shall see face to face. Now, I know only in part. But then, when we're with God fully, then I'll know fully, even as I'm fully known in heaven. In heaven, we will be fully known by a God who is love, and we will see and feel his love fully, completely, unshadowed. But now, here, we only see his love. Well, Isaiah says it, your iniquities, your sin, have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. So right now, where we are right now, we're in a place between heaven and hell. Heaven and hell are both eternal. They are forever. They are where we will either fully be in the presence of God, fully, as in Eden, we will see his face. He will walk among us. We will be in the full presence of God. And God is love. We will be in the full presence of love. And hell is a place where God honors the desire of those men and women who say, I want no part of you. Get out of my life, God. I don't believe in you. I don't want you. I want to go my own way. And so hell is that place where there is eternal separation from God, who is love itself. And where we are now is here. God is here. He's present. But we've turned away from him. Our sin separates us from him. Even in coming to faith, we see him only as a shadow. We do not see the fullness of his face, nor can we. And though the people of this world have turned away from God, God has not turned away from them. You see, this same God that says to us, you have done nothing to earn your salvation. You have done nothing. You are incapable of being perfect. All of your good deeds are like filthy rags. Not because you aren't trying, but because your whole world is in sin, and you've grown up in this sin. You're surrounded by it. You breathe it in every time you walk. But God has not abandoned us. He's still here. But we see and feel him only in shadow. And we're looking forward to that day that we'll see him in full. He stands here in this world, reaching out to us. He stands at the door and he knocks. And he's waiting for us to let him in. But we can't experience his fullness here and now. So this goes back to that question. If we're honest, we sometimes look at the behavior of other people in church. And we all know we've been hurt by other people in church. We all know that we ourselves have hurt others because we are not perfect. We do our best to show the love of Christ. But we have bad days sometimes. We have days when we're tired. We have days when we feel hurt. We have days, whatever the reason, where we do not live up to the fullness of Christ. Of course not, because we're not Christ. And we will never be Christ. What we are accepted by Him through Christ Jesus Himself and His sacrifice. So this thing, this undeserved love that makes us acceptable to God, is often called saving grace. It's the grace that says, look, none of you deserve God. None of you are perfect. How can you be in the presence and live with a perfect God if you yourself are not perfect? And God Himself has paid the price. He said, I love you. If you're willing to trust me, if you're willing to say, you are my Lord, I will serve no one else. I've placed my trust in you. My imperfect, wavering, doubting, the best that I have, I'm placing my trust in you. If we do that, God says, you will be with me in heaven. You will be with me in paradise. You will be with love itself eternally. This is grace. Undeserved love, not because we deserve it and are good, but because God is good. God is love. And out of His love for us, He offers that eternal relationship with Him. But that same love that says, look, you don't deserve me at all because you turned away from me. You were with me in Eden. You were with me in creation, but you chose to turn away. You chose to think that you knew better. You chose to think that God was wrong because you were right. You know better than God. You see, God did not turn away from us when we were in our sin. Even though we walked away from our Father never stops loving us. Common grace is that same grace, undeserved love. But this grace is offered to people who do not trust Him, who do not accept Him. Why? Well, foundationally, I'd say because that's God, that He is love. But in our text, it tells us He did not leave Himself without witness. For He did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. God gives good. God blesses even those who hate Him. Not meaning He gives them salvation, because that has to be like any relationship. It's about a mutual choice. I desire to be with you. You desire to be with me. Okay, let us go and be together. God gives this common grace to everyone on earth, that people can experience a shadow of God's love, that we can do good, even if we don't follow God. Why? Because God does this as a witness. Have a taste of who I am. Taste and see that I'm good. All good things come from me. As you experience these little shadows of my goodness, come back to me. The common grace is given to everyone on earth. It is common to all people. We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness. For he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. You see, that first part, we bring you good news. That's that saving grace. I bring you good news of great joy, that unto you this day is born a Savior, one who will save you, that through Jesus Christ, by trusting in him, by trusting in the one God sent, you can be with God eternally in heaven and experience the fullness of relationship with him eternally. And then at the bottom, that's common grace. You see, there is this saving grace offered to everyone. But wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to God. And most people will still turn away from God because they love their sin more. But God has offered this saving grace to everyone. And to reach out to everyone, he has provided what we would call this common grace. These pieces of his love, these pieces of his goodness. But the hope is that they would turn away from these worthless things and they would return to their good Father who loves them. So, as a summary, yeah, sometimes we look around and we get confused because we think that being Christian means being a nice person. No. Being Christian means I follow Jesus Christ and I'm working on being more like him. But I see that I'm a sinner. I see that I'm far from perfect. And even those who are not followers of Jesus, they're capable of doing good. They're capable of being blessed by God because God's common grace is given out to everyone. But this common grace, this undeserved love, is meant as a witness. Is meant as a witness to God. A witness, someone who tells you about God. But these shadows of goodness, these shadows of love, this common grace, God's eternal qualities, his divine nature, the love of a mother, the friendship of a brother, the joy of seeing our children grow. All of these are a shadow of the fullness of the love of God and the hope is that from this common grace, that when we tell people about Jesus, when we say, look, these shadows of love that never fulfill you, that never fully satisfy you. Yeah, you're right. They don't fully satisfy you. Because they're just a shadow of the fullness of love. And that's available to you in Christ Jesus. That you can have this love fully and eternally in a way that you can never imagine. Because you don't experience it here. Our hearts will never be satisfied in this earth. We'll get a shadow of God's love, even in church. We are a light in the darkness, but we are not the light itself. That fullness of light is our hope. And it's the good news we offer. The same God that gives this common grace also offers saving grace, that you can be with me fully, eternally, experience the fullness of love that you crave, that you were created to be with. That's what we're here for. If you are still in doubt about making Jesus your Lord, that there will be no master in your life except Him, look to the common grace given to you. That these things, that all good things, come from above. Come from God, the author of love, the author of goodness. And that in full relationship with Him, when we accept Christ, when we say, God, yes, I want to be with you. I'll turn away from my rebellion. That God offers this freely to us. That we can have the fullness of love. And while we're here, can I call you to forgive one another? Because you're not perfect. You will fall short. We are the body of Christ, but we are not Christ Himself. But we look forward to that eternal full relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me close with a prayer. God, it is so hard to live in this world sometimes. We see those that we judge to be wicked prosper. We see those who should be holy behave poorly. God, this world is such a broken place. But you're still here. God, help us to see that your shadow of love here, your common grace, is meant to be a witness, calling us towards you, showing us that you are good, that you are real, that you are God. And may you help us to fully turn towards you, that we might one day, in your grace, be with you fully and eternally. And all this, Lord, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.